I'm going to begin a message on the subject, is America godless? Do we live in a Christless nation? Now, I'll answer that by asking another question. Have you ever seen God down here? Face to face? No. Have you ever seen Christ down here? No, sir. Nobody's ever seen him. He hasn't been here. I mean by that, he's not here in my generation. Now then, if America is godless, and if America is Christless, it's because the Holy Spirit has been rejected. I want to speak on the subject of the Lordship of the Holy Spirit in this world. The Holy Spirit never did lead anybody to go contrary to the Word of God. You know who gave the Bible? The Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit's testimony is? The Word of God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm by the grace of God, I want the Holy Spirit to give His testimony. Now, let's find a text that's going to be in all of these messages. I mean, I'm going to take a number of chapters, but I want to give to you 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians. Now, we'll come back to this. In the 12th chapter, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand. I give you to understand. It's a gift to understand. Understanding is a gift. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand. All right? Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. And so he said, that no man, now notice what he said, I give you to understand, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You know what that means? That means if you speak by the Holy Spirit, you will never use profanity. No man ever honors God with a bunch of dirty profanity. This is the generation of filthy mouths and tongues. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now then, that introduces the subject, doesn't it? We've preached many a sermon on the Lordship of Christ, but I can't even call Him Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. I don't even know Him as Lord. I don't even know Him as my Savior apart from the Holy Spirit. I say again, the only God we've got in the world is the Holy Spirit. And the only reason that He's lasted this long is the devil and his crowd cannot get a hold of Him. Therefore, they that would live godly, that means the Holy Spirit in them, must suffer persecution. The world hates the Holy Spirit, just like they hate God, just like they hated Jesus. Jesus lasted 3 years after He got into His public ministry. After He was baptized, He lasted 3 years. I want to begin a series of messages on the text that I just gave you. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Chapter 12. I was in an Alabama church with a wonderful crowd, and they said to me, Brother Olaf, the strongest man in the world will be here tonight. Fact is, the night before I arrived, he lifted, I mean just plain with strength, lifted 1,100 and some odd pounds. That's more than 100 pounds, more than a half a ton. I mean, just reached down and picked it up. But when I got to church, he didn't show. His wife sat on the front row, beautiful wife. She said, he's not well tonight. I mean, he's stove up after lifting such. Now, could I take another subject? The strongest man in the world is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew has something to say about the enemy coming in my house. And God said, before he can take over in my house, he's got to bind the strong man. That's not Lester Roloff. That's the Holy Spirit. Thank God he lives in my house. Now, I'm not talking about that stack of stone over there. He lives in people. And before the death, let me tell you something. You fellows that have been drunkards and dope heads and all the rest of it, after you get saved and the strong man moves in, you have no right to let the devil get you again. I mean, when he comes, just talk to the strong man about him. That's the Holy Spirit. We're never defeated. We're never defeated unless we grieve away the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the most abused and misused and misunderstood person in the world is the Holy Spirit. You girls, the Bible means nothing to you apart from the Holy Spirit. He's the author of it. He's the one that explains. He reveals it. And so, in this 12th chapter, in verse 18, behold, my servant, whom I've chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 29, now I've already referred to it. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, do you believe that the devil can defeat God? The answer is no. Who is God in the world? The Holy Spirit. Where does he live? In a monastery? No. In a church house? No, he lives in people. Now then, I want us to skip to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We're going to be in a lot of 12 chapters. I don't know, but a lot of times I just go through the Bible looking at a certain chapter to see what it has to offer. Beginning at verse 10. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. You know what that is? That's Jesus. The cornerstone's been rejected. The average person doesn't believe in or love the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17. So folks came and said, tempting him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? What are you going to say about that? And Jesus, verse 17, said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. I got a little different question I want to ask you. Who is Caesar? Is he just any little bureaucrat that jumps up with an unrighteous decree and said, I'm Caesar. Render to me. No. That's not my Caesar. You all know who my Caesar is tonight. I'll introduce you to him. My Caesar, spiritually, is the Word of God written down, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the highest Caesar there is. Number two, my Caesar on the level of living and law is the Constitution of the United States. That's my season. And I submit to you and to my radio friends, I have rendered unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Just because somebody runs up to Austin and writes a little decree and makes it in the form of what they call, listen, that has been tearing our homes apart, closing them down, murdering children, killing the hopes, aborting the hopes of parents and children. It never was made by Congress. The Bible says Congress shall make no law. They can't make a law respecting an establishment of religion or the free exercise thereby. And so, what we've been facing is what Isaiah calls an unrighteous decree. Go back. The people that gave us the Word of God primarily were men that violated unrighteous decrees. Who gave us the first five books of the Bible? A lawbreaker. Who gave us the first five books of the Bible? A mother and daddy that despised the unrighteous decree of murder and refused to put their babe in the river.
Yeah,
they were not willing for the state to kill their child.
Right.
And they were so right, God blessed them. And the one that they didn't kill was the one that delivered more than 3 million slaves out of Egyptian bondage. If the mother of Moses and the dad of Moses and Moses himself had not been disobedient to unrighteous decree, he would have never met the I Am at the burning bush or led the children of Israel across the Red Sea through the wilderness, and they'd have never wound up in the Promised Land. Who's the man in the Old Testament? I said, who's the man in the Old Testament above every other man? He was captured, that violated the decree of the king. His name was Daniel. He's the man of the most conviction that we know of in the Bible. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He rendered unto Caesar what belonged to Caesar. But his conscience didn't belong to Caesar. They've asked me to surrender my conscience, my conviction, my way of life. Never!
Amen.
And so, we're going through, we see that the Bible says there is a law. Now remember, there's one law and one lawgiver. The Bible said there's one lawgiver, only one. And there's one law above other, it's the law of the Lord, and it's perfect. And you can't improve that, so you don't need to rewrite it. Just reread it.
Amen.
And so, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin. And you know why America's in bondage tonight? She hadn't been liberated by the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And no man can call Jesus Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. No way on earth. You might say it with your lips, but you can't say it with your life. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Do you not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures? Now then, what else? Neither the power of God. Did you know that we never have any more of the power of God than we have revelation from the Scriptures? If you have fire that's unscriptural, you have wildfire. Real fire comes from the fire book, the Word of God. And so he said, you do or not know the Scriptures, neither the power of God. Now then, about that time, one of the scribes, in verse 28, came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he'd answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus gave the answer. Here we are. Number one. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Who in the Bible claimed to be the door? And who is the door? Jesus. Now, have you ever thought about what the key is? Not much need having a door if it's locked. You've got to have the key. Look at the 11th chapter, and let's see what the key is. He said, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you've taken away the key." What is the key? The Holy Spirit. How are you going to get into the door? You think you just walk into Jesus? No. You think you get good enough to just walk in the door? No. The Holy Spirit is the key. He's the key to knowledge, and Jesus is the true knowledge. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the wisdom, and the life, and all that we need is in Christ. Now, he said, you've taken away the key. You won't go in, and you won't let anybody else come in that wants to go in. Is that true today? Everywhere you look, we have knowledge, but not true knowledge, not wisdom. The leaders of our nation are not acquainted with the kind of wisdom that God offers to give. Now then, chapter 12, he warns us and also makes a promise. And this has meant much to me the last 7 years. He said in verse 10, "Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." Now, verse 11. "When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." How are we going to know what to say if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us what to say? How can a man preach except the Lord help him through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Now he comes to warn. He said, "Now I want you to beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And then he tells about a rich farmer. A rich farmer. "And he thought within himself." Use the little word "I" 6 times, was blind, ran into God with his selfishness, made no provisions for anything that he had, left no will taken care, because God said, "And then who shall these goods be?" And then the man was killed. Then he tells us in verse 34 how true this is. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning." John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we'll read, first of all, the liberality and the extravagance of a lady called Mary. "Took a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. House was filled with the odor of the ointment, and Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, said, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always.'" Folks, we're entering in to the greatest era of hunger and famine America's ever known. I've had 3 families to get in touch with me. Some of them are here tonight that are in distress. Just in distress. More calls are coming to me because it's been rumored that our church cares. More people are sleeping on the beach and in cars than ever before. A widow called me up, two children. She said, I desperately need help, Brother Olaf. Please help me. That field is white already. I'll tell you something else. This country is going to be filled with mental cases and emotional disturbances, and nobody's doing anything about it. The church has never built a home for mental patients. And there's only one book that'll get them straightened out, the psychiatrist. This week, when a lady, a professor in the university yonder, in Maryland, I believe it was that night, either that or Massachusetts, she brought the psychiatrist to the service and said, Brother Olaf, my little girl has been taken away from us because she went to court and said, I do not want to live under the rules and regulations of my mother and dad. And the judge, stupid idiot, said, you don't have to. I'll get you a home. And he got her home. I tell you what, I just about lost my appetite for the name Foster. When old man Foster got born, that was sad. I mean, most of them are hirelings, and you know it. So the judge got a foster home. She lasted 30 days. Wound up back in the judge's court, and of course her mother and dad had divorced from her. I mean, the judge said, you can't have anything to do with her. And so when the judge took her the next time, said to the little girl, I don't know where I'm going to put you, really. And so he said, the only thing I can do is to commit you to the hospital. And the psychiatrist, one of them, that's been waiting on her and trying to do something with a little rebel that needs an old-fashioned board meeting. And he came to the meeting. And they said, now, Brother Olaf, I don't care. And I'll tell you what, we've got the daughter here, your mother. I'm trying to see where the girl is, but she's around here somewhere. Wonderful girl. It was your mother that recommended that they get in touch, and they were there. So the psychiatrist, this is what he said. Now, Brother Olaf, I've been working with her for 30 days, and I have gotten exactly nowhere. Can you take her? If you can take this woman's daughter, and she'd turn out to be a lovely Christian, then maybe you can do something. I said, there's no room. We have no room. And the mother begged and pleaded and everything. And that's the cry. Folks, children just need Jesus. And the average home does not present the Christ that transforms and changes lives.